Father, we release the gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. This morning I want to talk about releasing the prophetic anointing. Releasing the prophetic anointing. And I'm going to explain to you just what that means. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. We're going to learn from the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. The first verse I want to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. We're going through, if you read that whole chapter, it's about the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm not going to read them all because this morning I want to focus on one. But we want them all. And we want them all to be present. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 10 says, "To another the working of miracles, to some is given the gift of the working of miracles. To another, prophecy." That's what we're talking about today, the gift of prophecy. "To another, discerning of spirits," the ability to discern what is God, what is not God. "To another, different kinds of tongues," and to another, interpretation of tongues. This morning, I want to talk about the prophetic, but we want all of the gifts, amen? We want gifts of healing. We want gifts of miracles. We want gifts of faith. We want the gifts of the Holy Spirit active in our body. God gave us the gifts as enablements. You know, it's unfortunate because a lot of people have gotten a little bit afraid of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the whole subject of the Holy Spirit has created confusion in the body of Christ. And that must really break the heart of God. Because this is one of the most precious things that He has given us, is the Holy Spirit to work. You know, He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, proclaim the good news." And that's kind of a daunting task. But He let us know that you don't have to do that on your own. I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you enablements. And that's what the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for, to equip us and to enable us to do the work of the kingdom. When we try to do this on our own, we're going to fall. We're going to fail. But God has equipped us with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is here today. The Holy Spirit is here to touch your life. God is here through the Holy Spirit. Everything God does in the earth, He does through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's agent in the earth right now. And that's what the Word of God teaches. Sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts you. The Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit teaches you. The Holy Spirit does everything in the earth. He is our connection to God. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are a part of that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit that You've given us. We thank You, Lord, that we're growing and we're learning. We thank You, Lord, that You are wanting to release those gifts through Your people to others and to those in need. There are people with needs here today. There are people here that have situations in their life, Lord, that need Your attention. But Lord, there are gifts here today for those needs. There are gifts in the body of Christ for every need that is here. There are gifts to meet those needs. But Lord, we have to actively release what You've placed within us so that it can touch the lives of others. If we don't teach, if we don't preach and exhort, if we don't proclaim, if we don't pray, if we don't use what You've put in us, then it's ineffective. But Lord, You've given us these things to use them. And so, Lord, I pray that You help us by faith today to release those things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know what makes the prophetic so powerful? And I'm going to define prophetic in just a minute so you'll know what I'm talking about. But you know what makes it so powerful? What makes it so powerful is the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. And that's what the prophetic is. The prophetic is just releasing the Word of God. When someone speaks in prophecy, a prophet stands up and speaks to a nation or speaks to a church or speaks to an individual, and they're speaking a word into their life, and they're speaking what God gave them to speak. They are proclaiming the Word of God. All prophecy should be in line with the Word of God. All prophecy should be in harmony with the Word of God, not outside the revelation of the Word of God, but within it, contained within it. And that is the Word of God. And that's what makes it powerful. The Word of God never goes out void. The Word of God is effective. He does not send His Word out and it becomes ineffective, but He says when His Word is released, it always performs that for which it was sent. Amen? That's powerful. The Word of God is a powerful thing. There was this burglar in this house, and this elderly woman caught him in the act, in her home. And she just quoted scripture. She just yelled out, Acts 2:38. And the guy froze. He didn't move. She said, Acts 2:38. And she called 911. The police arrived. They came up to the guy, and he was still standing right where he was standing. He never moved. So they're handcuffing him. He's putting the handcuffs on the guy, and the police says, man, I got to ask you something. He said, there's no one here but this elderly lady. And I don't understand why you're still standing. Why didn't you run? Why didn't you do something? Why are you just standing here? He said, are you kidding? He said, that lady said she had an axe and 2:38. So I'm not going anywhere. There's power in the Word of God, amen? But not like that. There's power in God's Word. And when we speak the Word of God, when we proclaim the Word of God, you're releasing an atomic bomb in the spirit realm. You're releasing so much power. Not my word, not your word, but the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's talk about anointing. We use that word a lot, but I want to talk about what it means because I'm talking about a prophetic anointing. The word anointing literally means to rub or smear with oil, to rub something. That's what it means. The verse of scripture, the anointing breaks the yoke. What that literally means is that when an oxen is anointed, they would rub their ears and their nose with an ointment or an oil, and it kept flies and insects and things from getting in their ears and getting in their nose. It made them healthy. It helped keep them strong. And when an ox is healthy and strong, he outgrows his yoke. The thing that's been binding him and holding him, he outgrows it because he gets healthy. That's what that anointing breaks the yoke. That's what that means. So when you're anointed, when God is anointing you, you grow in strength. It's the anointing, the touch from heaven on you that lifts you out of the natural into the supernatural. You read the New Testament, read about the New Testament church. They walked in the supernatural. Amen? Come on, church. They walked in the supernatural. And that made the difference for the call that God placed upon their life because they were anointed. God wants to rub and smear the oil of the Holy Spirit all over you to lift you up, spiritually speaking, not literally, but to lift you up into a new place in the kingdom. And when He anoints you with the prophetic, He is rubbing and smearing you with the Word of God. He is anointing you with the Word of God so that you can walk around and hold it inside and enjoy it. No, so that you can release the Word of God and speak it in power and use it the way God intended for you to use it. And He may even put into your life that gift of the prophetic where you are called not to just be anointed, because God anoints for purposes. He doesn't anoint people just to anoint them. When David was anointed, he was anointed what? To be king of Israel. He was chosen for a purpose. God is anointing with the prophetic, not everybody. He anoints, He gives this gift and He gives that gift. The Bible says differently as He wills. So everybody doesn't flow in this gift, but some do. And when God anoints you to flow in the prophetic, God is calling you to release the Word of God, anointed for prophecy. Prophecy is proclaiming and speaking the Word of God. But before you can do that, you have to get the Word in you. Amen? David said, His Word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You need the Word of God in you, not just on the back seat of the car, not just on the coffee table. You need the Word of God in you. Amen? You need to know the Word of God. Let's look at our next verse, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. It says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart. In other words, what is in you is what will come out of you. If anger is in you, anger will come out of you. If bitterness is in you, bitterness will come out of you. If strife is in you and confusion is in you, that is what will come out of you. That's what you'll talk about. That's what will flow out of your life. So what is in you needs to change. God wants to change what is in you. And so that when God puts life in you, and God puts joy in you, and God puts peace in you, and God puts freedom in you, and God puts healing in you, and God, all those things that God begins to put in you, that's what starts to flow out of you. That's what you speak. That's what you proclaim. And it's good, you know. All of us know what it's like to be around a person who's all gloom and doom. Amen? That's not much fun. You know, we shy away from those people because they tend to drag you down. You want to be lifted up. You want to be encouraged. You want to be built up. Deuteronomy chapter 30, our next verse says, "But the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it," or that you may proclaim it. Once that word is in you, he's saying that word is in you, even in your mouth. That God has put that, what's he saying? God has put the word in you for a reason. Amen? That God has placed the word in you for a reason. And he's placed the word in you, the word of God in you, to proclaim it, to use it. Now, he may be calling you to use it in the prophetic, that is speaking over somebody's life, or speaking, teaching a class, or preaching the word of God, or just going up to somebody and sharing with them a word that God put in your heart. All of those things can be used of the Lord. Or he may have just put it in you so that you can speak over yourself, you can speak over your family, you can speak over your wife, you can speak over your husband, you can speak over your children. You know, you ought to be proclaiming the word of God over those you love and over those who are close to you. You know, you can speak the word of God over yourself every day. Speak the word, speak life over yourself. Speak health over yourself. Speak joy and victory over yourself. Speak the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the difference between the Logos and the Rhema. Because there's two different words in the Bible for the word of God. One is Logos and one is Rhema. Logos is the complete and revealed word of God. It's the totality of God's word, that all of his word is Logos. That's the word of, and it is the word of God, and those words are life. But there's another word for that's used in the Bible for word, and that is Rhema, which is a revelatory word that is, Rhema literally means, the word means speak, to speak. And it's a word that is released. How many of you have got, I'll show you the difference between Logos and Rhema. How many of you have got, use highlighters in your Bible and mark scriptures with pens or highlighters or whatever? Y'all do that? Okay, those scriptures that are highlighted in your Bible, why did you highlight them? Because they spoke to you. They leaped out at you. You highlighted them for a reason. What I'm trying to tell you is the scriptures that you've highlighted in your Bible are Rhema. That's Rhema to you. That's the difference. It's all Logos. It's all Logos, but those scriptures that you've highlighted are Rhema. They spoke to you. They spoke to you in a certain way. They came alive to you, and they ministered to you. And so you marked them. And that's the difference. That's what Rhema is. Rhema speaks. Amen? Rhema speaks. And you know how powerful the word of God when it leaps off the page and it speaks to you. That's the same thing happens in the prophetic. That's what the prophetic, when you speak the prophetic, you're speaking highlighted speech. Do you see that? You're speaking highlighted speech. You're speaking Rhema. You're speaking logos. Yes, it's logos, but now it's becoming rhema because you're speaking it. You're proclaiming it into somebody's life. You're releasing a highlighted. You're taking a marker to the Word of God and releasing it into somebody's life. And you're pouring life into them when you use that gift that God has given you, the word that is even in your mouth to use. Amen? And it becomes a weapon. Hallelujah. The word of God becomes a weapon. This is why we need to use it. How many of you got battles in your life? Amen? Hallelujah. We all do. We all fight things. We all wrestle with stuff. You know, I don't know how many of you read the small print when you became a Christian, but there's an enemy out there that don't like you. And it's because you're connected to the Son of God, you know? Amen. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. And if you marry into the McCoy family, the Hatfields don't like you. And we're into the body of Christ and the enemy doesn't like you. And so there's an enemy out there. Hallelujah. But you need to understand, we have weapons of warfare. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, our next verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds." Amen? It says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing." There doesn't need to be high things in your life. High things are things that get in your life and get higher than God. Things that get in your life that take over the place of God. "Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." The weapons of our warfare, the word of God, the power of God's word released. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is alive and powerful." Say alive and powerful. "It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." The word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword that cuts, that pierces, that does the job that God needs doing. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." In the armor of God that we use, you have one offensive weapon, one, and that's your sword. The sword of the Spirit. And what does he say the sword of the Spirit is? The word of God. There's your weapon. There's your offensive weapon, the word of God. Pull that sword out and use it. It does no good if you leave it tucked in all the time. Amen? Pull the sword, pull the word of God, speak it, proclaim it, use it. And when the enemy comes against you and he tells you, you know, you don't amount to anything, you're not any good, you can pull that sword out and say, "I'm a child of God. I am bought with a price. I am redeemed with a price. I am bought by the blood of Jesus." Amen. When he comes and tells you you're sick, you're going to die, you can pull that sword and say, "God's word says he has plans for me, that I will prosper and that he will bless me." And when he tells you you're not going to make it, you pull that sword out and say, "He will open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I cannot even contain." When he tells you you're sick, pull that sword out and say, "I am healed by the stripes of the blood of Jesus. He is my healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord my healer." Proclaim the word of God. There's power in it. There's power in the word of God, because the word of God is like the Bible says the word of God is like a hammer. The Bible says the word of God is like a fire. And you just bring that hammer, you know, against those things that have been pounding against you, start pounding back. Amen. Start pounding back with the word of God. Just every day, get up every day, just proclaim it. Just proclaim it. Speak the word of God over your family. Speak the word of God over yourself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13. Look at this verse. "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us," how many of you have received the word of God? "When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men." You know what that means? It means they recognized it as something exceptional. They recognized it as something extraordinary. They didn't receive it as the word of men. They didn't receive it like you would receive a news report or something else that you just heard. They recognized that it was exceptional. They recognized that it was extraordinary. They recognized that it was powerful. They recognized that it was the word of God. And listen to what he says. But as it is in truth, the word of God, look at this, which also effectively works in you who believe. That the word of God is effectively working in you. Let me just simply put it this way. It works. It works. It works. The word of God will effectively work if we receive it, if we believe it, if we use it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let me show you this. And we're going to move into what the Lord wants us to do today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 2, I'm going to show you the power of operating in the Spirit and in the gifts. And some of you that were in our classes recently have heard this, but it's good to hear it again. But all of you were not, so you need to hear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." What he's saying here is that when you pray in tongues, you are speaking not to men because they can't understand you, but you are speaking to God. Isn't that awesome? That you are speaking to God. And I'll show you something about the prophetic, but I want to show you this because they're tied together. So that when you speak, when you pray in tongues or you speak in tongues or the gift of tongues is flowing, that's, you're not speaking to others. They can't understand what you say and it's not for them. You're speaking to God. But he said, you are speaking revelation. You are speaking mysteries. You are speaking the deep things of God. And here's why. You have limited understanding. You have limited knowledge. You don't know everything the Holy Spirit knows. You don't know everything God knows. Corinthians tells us that when the Holy Spirit prays through us, he prays with the mind of Christ. He prays with the understanding of God. I can't do that with my own understanding. Do y'all see what I'm saying here? When I pray with my understanding is limited. I'm telling you, when you pray with your understanding, you're praying with boundaries. You can only go so far. But when you pray in the Spirit, there are no boundaries. When you're praying in the Spirit, it's unlimited. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying with the knowledge of God. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Folks, you're speaking the deep mysteries of God. Now, let me show you something. So that's praying without boundaries. All right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 and 4, our next verses. But he who prophesies, when you speak the word of God to someone, to a church, to someone, he speaks edification and encouragement and comfort to men. So when you speak the word of God out of your spirit, that revelation that's been growing up inside of you, now you can speak it to men and they can understand it. And when you proclaim it to them out of the depths of your being, you speak the word of God, you speak encouragement, you speak edification, you speak comfort, and you build them up and you strengthen them. The word of God is not designed to tear people down. It's designed to build people up, to encourage, to strengthen. That's what the word of God does. So it says, so he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm building up my spirit because I'm releasing without boundaries the revelation of God. But when you prophesy, when you speak that word of God, you edify the whole church. We're all built up. We're all encouraged because a word is released that speaks the word of God to us. What God has, listen, when somebody walks up here and says, "Brother Glenn, I've got a word today," something is bubbling up inside of them. They haven't been able to sit still. Listen, for a lot of people to walk up and tell the pastor they got a word to say, that's not real easy to do. And it's like they can't sit there. They're like Jeremiah, "I got a burning fire shut up in my bones and I've got to release it." You know what they're releasing? Oh, glory to God. They're releasing that revelation and mystery that God has been stirring stirring up in their spirit that God is revealing something and God wants it released. And I got news for you. If God's got something bubbling up inside of you, I want to hear it. Because it's going to be good for me. Because it's going to build me up. It's going to edify. It's going to encourage. And so that's what he's doing. Let's look at our last verse for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When I'm praying in tongues, I don't understand it. My understanding is unfruitful, but my spirit is elevated. My spirit man is built up. My spirit man is edified. My understanding is not, but my spirit man is edified. So he says, so what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, but I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing in the spirit, but I will sing with the understanding. What he's telling you is there's a time for prayer with God in which you are edified and you are built up and God is encouraging and pouring into you. But there's also a time when the word of God, the prophetic anointing is released into people's life and they are built up and they are encouraged. Listen. God doesn't want you spending time in your prayer closet just for yourself. God doesn't want you spending time in the presence of God just so you're built up. He wants to build you up, but he wants you to do something with it. And he wants it released into the body of Christ. The same is true with the gifts of healing. The same is true with the gifts of miracles. The same is true with the gifts of faith or tongues or interpretation or any of the gifts. The purpose of those gifts are so that they are released into the body of Christ. They are released back into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stand with me.